Hi, you're at Truth News Radio Australia on the 20th of August 2016. My name's Hereward Fenton. Welcome to the show. Today I'm going to be looking at an ABC production, well known to our listeners, by the name of Q&A, and I'm going to be playing some extended clips from last week's Q&A episode. Now, for those who don't know the Q&A show, it's an Australian national broadcaster program that canvasses important public topics with a panel, and it has a live audience. It's a show that goes out all over Australia and is actually streamed globally. The ABC is Australia's national broadcaster. It's a government-funded television station. They invest massive amounts of money into this program known as Q&A and use all kinds of sophisticated techniques to monitor and, one might say, manipulate the audience. Many who've watched the show over the years have commented on the fact that the program seems to have an agenda to shape public opinion. But it is done in such a way that your opinion is shaped by seeing other people be influenced. So you'll be watching the TV show that's got a live audience, and they'll be doing lots of live cuts to the audience, and very close-up facial shots, so you can see people reacting to things that are being said. You'll see tweets constantly running across the bottom of your screen, and these are little psychological messages which are all coming from the general public, mind you, so they can't say it's propaganda, but of course it's filtered, isn't it? And all of these tweets that run along the bottom of the screen inject little thought packages into your brain, and of course the cuts, the edits, and what appears to be synchronized or on cue rounds of applause to certain statements, and then complete silence or even booing or laughter when certain people say other things. All of this creates the impression that what we are looking at in Q&A is a very sophisticated brainwashing technique. And yet, it's important for me to talk about this and to play some of this for you, because it still is a platform upon which important topics are being discussed. And in last week's show, Malcolm Roberts came on board as the nominal climate skeptic, and he was facing off against a chap by the name of Brian Cox. Now, I'm just reading here from the bio on ABC. Superstar Professor Brian Cox is a British particle physicist at the University of Manchester. He is best known to the public as the presenter of a number of science programs for the BBC. And he is in Australia this month with a stage show in Melbourne, Brisbane, Canberra, Sydney, Adelaide and Perth. He is one of the world's foremost science communicators, able to make highly complex matters entertaining and easy to contemplate. Before launching into his science career, Brian was a professional musician. Now, clearly Brian Cox is a clever individual. But before we get into playing the show, it's important to understand that Brian Cox is primarily an entertainer. And, this is often the case with these very high-profile professors who end up on the BBC and end up having a major career in media. They're basically entertainers. And as an entertainer, there's a lot of tweaks of human behavior, of body language, of influencing the way people think that are very, very important. And these traits and these abilities are what clearly is demonstrated in today's show when Brian Cox speaks. But when Malcolm Roberts speaks, by contrast, what we see is someone who's less polished, doesn't know all of those cues and techniques and all of that sophisticated way of communicating. But nonetheless, to me, it comes across as someone who is sincere, who is trying to communicate, who is genuine, who is true from the heart. Now, I'll just read you here the bio of Malcolm Roberts from the same ABC website. Malcolm Roberts has been confirmed as the fourth member of Pauline Hanson's Senate team to be elected and will represent Queensland for One Nation. He has a background in engineering, mining and business, and an interest in economics. Malcolm disputes many of the claims made about climate change. After an investigation of these claims involving analysis of the measured data, Malcolm believes he has exposed corruption. His investigations led him to conclude that foreign control is wrecking Australia and the tax system is choking Australians, destroying initiative and responsibility while sabotaging the future. Malcolm holds a master's degree in business administration from the University of Chicago. And he is also an engineer. Okay. I'm going to play to you now the first question that was raised on the subject of climate change in this show. And I'll pause the audio to comment on it, because there's quite a lot of things I think that need to be commented on as we play this. So just starting with that now. Here we go. The first question was raised by a member of the audience, and I think it's all fairly self-explanatory from there. Here we go.
Hello. Recently on Insiders, Malcolm Roberts gave Barry Cassidy his business card and asked Barry to get back to him when he had proof and data that there is a human element in our increasing climate change. I was hoping the panel could perhaps guide Barry with some fact and just not opinion on the human element in climate change.
I was going to start with Brian Cox, the scientist on the panel, and can you provide scientific data or evidence that might help Barry Cassidy convince Malcolm over here that human-induced climate change is a reality?
Well, yes, and I could sit here and read out figures until I'm blue in the face. I mean, it's getting more worrying if you look at the temperature measurements now. I mean, 2015 and 2016 in particular have seen a quite shocking acceleration in many of the measures, be it surface temperatures, ocean temperatures, etc. So the first few months I noticed of 2016 have above the average, the pre-industrial average, have been pushing 1.5 degrees. Now, you can't read too much into individual years. You have to be careful because you see these graphs and they're spiky, but there's a clear rise. And it's,
the latest data is actually suggesting that by 2024, 1.5 degree increase is on the cards now. Well, actually, which puts us very close to the critical.
That's a prediction of the models. But actually, in the early months of 2016 have already shown that. So we don't know how 2016 is going to continue. But
I'm just going to pause it there. Now, if you're paying attention, you'll have noticed that right from the get-go, Brian Cox sidetracked from the actual question into typical alarmist rhetoric, which was irrelevant, off topic, but effective because people always respond to alarmist statements. See, the question was about human influence. The question was not about is it getting hotter or is it not getting hotter. But Brian Cox immediately said, oh, I can quote you all these statistics. And then he started saying, oh, but it's so hot. Oh, it's so hot. And it's going to be 1.5 degrees hotter than it's been. And then, of course, the show presenter, Tony Jones, leapt in there and corroborated that to reinforce this alarmist rhetoric, which was still completely off topic. So this is how the whole thing begins. This is how we get to We start off without ever actually even addressing questions, only raising alarmist statements to make you feel some kind of emotional reaction.
That is a worrying problem.
Because what would happen if we reach 2%?
Oh, there are some shocking predictions, actually, that you see where places in the Middle East, for example, that are already experiencing temperatures, sometimes in excess of 50 degrees, I think, this year, become essentially uninhabitable for certain periods of time. So it exacerbates, you know, sea level rise, etc. What it does, it exacerbates some of the problems we're seeing. We just spoke about refugee problems. If you begin to get large shifts in climate very fast, then human populations have to respond. So how do you respond on very short timescales? One of the things you do is you move. So again, I emphasise it's the same answer as the answer to the last question, I think. This is now a clear global problem. The absolute consensus is that human action is leading to an increase in average temperatures. Absolute consensus. I know...
I just have to pause it there because... you may notice that he has now jumped into another typical alarmist meme and a logical fallacy and a very deceptive and dishonest means of pushing an argument. He just suddenly says there is an absolute consensus. Absolute. Absolute. Now, we know that's not true. There are quite a number of climate scientists who are sceptics of the current statements, the current dogma, the current predictions and projections that represent the IPCC's viewpoints. It's a lie to say that there is the consensus is absolute. So I'll just return you now to the show, and I think Malcolm Roberts is about to respond.
You may try to argue with that, but you can't.
No, not in my way.
But therefore, but the key point is, can we respond to it? Do we have the political institutions and the political will and the organisation globally to respond to this challenge? And that worries me immensely. I don't think we do at the moment.
I'm going to go quickly to Malcolm Roberts. We want to hear from all the panellists on this.
Sure. The longest temperature record for temperatures on this planet is a Central England temperature record, which goes back to the mid-1600s. And the first of the... in the 17th century, the latest warming cycle in the 17th century going into the 18th century was faster and greater than the latest warming, which finished in 1995. And Justin Bieber wasn't flying his private jet around in the 1600s. That's the first thing. The second thing was we've had a pause in this so-called warming for now 21 years. Depends how you measure it, 21.
We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Don't go away. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And playing to you some clips here from ABC's Q&A show featuring questions on climate change with Malcolm Roberts and superstar Professor Brian Cox. Now, I just played to you Malcolm Roberts' initial response there to what Brian Cox responded to the question about proving there is a human influence. Now, Malcolm made some valid points, and I think he'd prepare that little statement, and it was all good, solid scientific fact and useful, but I think that he completely fluffed it there, unfortunately, because I don't think anyone understood what he said, and he stumbled a little bit while he was speaking, which made it harder for people to actually understand what he was saying, and he didn't counteract. He didn't he didn't neutralise Brian Cox. Now, I think the best way to have done that would have been to highlight Cox's failure to actually answer the previous question, and then to also bring up the kind of showmanship aspect of the way Brian Cox presents himself, using these fear-inducing alarmist memes, talking about the hottest year ever and it's going to be hotter than it ever was before, and generally, you know, hyping up the fear, and of course invoking the consensus argument again and again. He does actually raise that, Malcolm does actually raise that a little bit later on, but I think the problem here is that this is about live action kind of entertainment. And in a scenario like Q&A, you have to be completely on top of it right in that very instant when the person is speaking. And you can't afford to stumble. And you notice that Brian Cox never stumbles. We're talking here about people who are very well trained, who have gone through a lot of preparation. And unfortunately, Malcolm Roberts is a person who comes from a different angle. You know, he comes from the angle of someone who's an activist, who's motivated by genuine concerns about society, motivated by genuine concerns about real environment issues and about dishonesty in science. He's not just a slick performing, you know, circus monkey. But that is what the media produces, and that these people who end up becoming quite prominent in major media, especially on the BBC, the ABC, these science presenters, they provide a propaganda role. That's what they do. That's their main function. And it's honestly very, very difficult. But at least we can say we do have this man, Malcolm Roberts, taking a seat in the Senate, who is going to be putting forward points and making statements in government and having an impact in our society, which is a slight advantage, a slight improvement over what we've seen in the past. So let me just continue now with some clips from the audio.
Years, and I'm absolutely stunned that someone who is inspired by Richard Feynman, a fantastic scientist who believes in empirical evidence, is quoting a consensus.
Can I just say, I brought the graph, right? I mean, can I just...
Okay, I just have to pause there again. That's another showmanship tactic. He whips out a graph and everyone screaming in applause. I mean, that has to be orchestrated. I find it very hard to believe that that was just a spontaneous outburst. And this again makes us question what is really going on at the ABC and how they engineer public opinion on this show. Now, the graph shows a steady rise in temperature. Of course, there are many different versions of the temperature graph of the 20th century. Malcolm makes a few points about it. I just wanted to highlight the fact that this whipping out of a graph and getting the audience into a crazed round of applause, screaming and whistling, it's really insidiously Orwellian, really, really offensively manipulative tactics being used by both Brian Cox and the ABC. Okay, continue with the show now.
I'll just tell you where the pause is. The pause that's often quoted, if you take this point here, which is about 1997, I think, and you ignore 2015, 2016, you can choose that point and you can draw a slightly straighter trend line on there. But that's a misunderstanding. The question is, does that rise? And also, secondly, I'd brought another graph because I heard it. Is it correlated with that, which is the graph that shows the CO2 emissions, the CO2 in parts per million in the atmosphere? And you see that peak there, where it goes flying up. So the question essentially is, first of all, are those two things correlated? And secondly, do we understand the physical mechanisms? And we understood those since the 19th century.
Brian, can you go back to the middle of the graph?
If you want. I can give you a lesson.
Can you go back to the middle of the graph there?
Yeah.
The
that graph.
Yeah, the peak in the middle?
Yep.
What year is that?
That's about 1941.
Yeah, 1930s and 40s were warmer than the current decades. What's the data source?
Well, not exactly.
No, the original records are. The original records are far warmer. The other thing that tells me that graph has got something wrong with it is that 1998 was about the same as 2015-16.
Okay, I'm just going to pause here. So you're hearing.
It was an El Nino year.
Both were El Nino years.
Malcolm, just one second. You're hearing the interpretation of a highly qualified scientist, and you're just saying, I don't believe it. Is that right?
I'm saying two things.
Okay, this is where I start to get really angry watching this, because this, ladies and gentlemen, what you're looking at here, what the ABC is doing, is completely criminal. It is a complete violation of the principle of what of their media is all about, of what a free society is about, of what democracy is about. Having the audience yell and laugh at Malcolm Roberts while they cheer Brian Cox, for what reason? Why are they motivated to do that? I don't believe it's spontaneous. The audience has been carefully selected for their biases. It is offensive to such an alarming degree to me to have to watch this, to see this abomination, this defilement of society, and to see these people who have become nothing more than like zombies just used as tools in a political agenda. Anyway, let's continue with the show.
I'm saying two things. First of all, that the data has been corrupted, and we know that the 1930s were warmer than today.
Yeah. Corrupted? What do you mean corrupted?
Been manipulated. And,
by
and,
who?
By NASA.
NASA?
By the yes.
The people.
Hang on a minute.
No, this is quite serious.
No, I'm going to just ask the audience, just hang on. We've actually got to hear what's being said here. So it's all very well to laugh, but we want to hear what's being said.
Steve Goddard. He has shown the NASA figures, and the graph was originally showing that 1930s were warmer than recent decades, and that is correct. And people have recognised that for many, many years. And in the recent years, they've been reversed so that the 1930s were reduced in temperature and the later periods were inflated in temperature. That's a fact. Now, the Bureau of Meteorology is exactly the same, and Greg Hunt squashed an investigation of the Bureau of Meteorology earlier this year.
Okay, all right, Greg Hunt.
Can I just check you one thing? NASA. Now NASA,
yes.
The people that landed men on the moon.
I
should just ask, actually, you believe we landed men on the moon.
But, see the little trick there?
No.
It's questioning whether or not I believe that I'm a moon sceptic. Now,
are you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, right. But it's a serious accusation. The idea that NASA and presumably, I should say to people, by the way, the Australian Academy of Science.
Just have to pause it again. This guy, Brian Cox, is a nasty, nasty piece of work, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a decent human being. This is not a scientist. This is a hitman posing as a scientist. You know, a former musician, they said on his bio. It's all fake. With Truth News Radio Australia, we'll be right back after the show, after the break. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm just going to continue now playing from the Q&A show from last week, if I can bear it. It really certainly does make me very angry, and it's hard to watch it. But it's important that this is done. It's important that that I communicate this. It's important that some people are actually deconstructing what Q&A does. So we'll just continue now, and I'll make further comments as appropriate.
Have done a brilliant... You can never get any sense on programmes like this. They're adversarial and things. But this, the Science of Climate Change, the Australian Academy of Sciences report is superb. I brought it because I'm going to come and give it to you in a minute so you can have a read. But that's very good if you want to see it. But the point is that the accusation that NASA... pretty all the Australian, the Met Office in the UK, everybody is collaborating to manipulate global temperature data.
Are you saying they're collaborating?
Well, they've all manipulated it in the same way and accidentally got to the same answer. Is that what you're saying?
NASA was led by James Hansen.
What about the Met Office in the UK then?
Well, this could go around all night.
Well, no, it could go around all night.
I want to hear from Greg. Greg has been accused of stopping an investigation into the truth of the things that Malcolm Roberts is saying. So you get a chance to answer here, and please go ahead.
Sure. So look, I think from my perspective, from the government's perspective, what we do is we take the advice of not just our agencies, but the international agencies as well. But in particular, the Bureau of Meteorology, the CSIRO, the Department of the Environment, Department of Industry, Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, all have very similar views that you've had an increase in CO2 parts per million from about 280 to 400 parts per million from about 1750. You've had an increase of about 1 degree in global temperatures over the last century. And what you see as part of that, obviously, is the physical impact.
Okay, I'm just going to pause it there, because here is where Greg Hunt demonstrates the complete betrayal, complete overturning of some of the core principles that Tony Abbott was elected on when he swept into power several years ago. Because it was all about climate change, folks. It was about the carbon tax, and it was about Australia's complete rejection of the carbon tax, and it was about a very strong movement within the Liberal Party of MPs who reject mainstream climate science. Now, what Greg Hunt has now delivered is an apologia in support of international climate science. And his whitewashed history, he's completely just... And this, we knew this would happen. You see, we knew that Tony Abbott, having been elected on this platform of crushing the carbon tax and being sceptical about human-induced climate change, that this would have to be overturned somehow. And it was done through a scare campaign of a variety of means, representing Tony Abbott as being some kind of monster from hell, you know, some sort of evil demon. And, you know, he was just destroyed. His character was destroyed in the media. And in the end, he was removed and replaced by Malcolm Turnbull, who is now the Prime Minister, who is a climate change alarmist. And quietly now, all the pieces are being rearranged in the Liberal Party, and the positions, the policies, the understandings, the whole scope of what was known before about there being a huge problem about accuracy and truth within the IPCC and mainstream climate science, that's all been forgotten down the memory hole, and now we have Greg Hunt stepping up to say that you know, he supports the experts. He just takes information from the greatest source of truth on the planet, which is these international scientific bodies, and that's all there is to it. And, of course, makes Malcolm Roberts look like a complete fool. And that is the way this little session pans out. And I'm not going to continue playing there. I'm going to play to you actually one more clip from the Q&A show from a little bit further on. And that's at a point which a question is asked about who should we listen to. Now, I'll just advance the player to that point, and it contains a little more interesting dialogue there on the whole topic.
Our next question comes from Adam Selinger.
Oh, thank you. So in the beginning, there were experts and there were celebrities. And then the experts became celebrities, Sir David, Ryan, and celebrities became experts, often in fields that where they had very little experience. There are now elected policy makers suggesting that perhaps we need not listen to experts anyway because their views are no more important than anyone else's. So my question is, who should we listen to in order to make informed decisions, contribute to sensible comment about important matters such as climate change, immigration, census data, and not simply follow the panicked herd? Who do we listen to?
Lily, let's start with you.
We listen to the experts, without a doubt. Are you asking about something specifically, or...?
Well, you gave a range of things, climate change, immigration, census data and so on.
I think there's no question that we should ask the experts in their field about the things that they know most about.
I wish we knew who the census data experts were. They seem to have all failed.
Everyone's shrinking. I think where science communication, for example, comes into play is that it's a wonderful tool to be able to broadcast some of the findings. And what that does is ignites passions and curiosities that children and students might have in order for them to explore it for themselves. So I think when it comes to climate change, there's no question that we should ask experts, but certainly I think people in the public eye can do a wonderful job in broadcasting certain areas.
Linda Burney, who would you trust to make the best informed decisions?
I think the most important people to ask are the people that are going to be directly affected by the decisions, no matter what the topic is, if it's immigration, if it's Aboriginal affairs, if it's education, if it's climate change. I mean, obviously, you don't talk to one particular group of people. You need to talk to experts, you need to talk to politicians, you need to talk to the media, but the most important people to speak to always, I have found in my many years of public life, is to talk and get the views of the people that are going to be affected by what...
I'll just pause it down. Now, the reason why I wanted to play this is to illustrate to you again the whole technique used within the ABC of manipulating your thought, of manipulating your opinion without you necessarily realising it. Now, the first lady who spoke, she had a very kind of childlike kind of quality. And, I mean, she's apparently a very highly qualified mathematician, but her way of talking seemed to appeal to a very childish kind of mentality. It's like, you know, just ask the experts. Oh, that's all we should do. Ooh, you know, don't ever do anything else. Just, of course, you have to ask mummy and daddy, you know. Gee, ask teacher if about climate change. A teacher should know. That was kind of her contribution, really. It's just like, trust mummy and daddy, trust teacher. And now the other lady who's just spoken, she's kind of got an attitude which is like, well, let's ask the little children, shall we? You know, let's ask the little children on Nauru how they feel about climate change, and then we'll get a deeper feeling of what it really is all about. She actually talks about Nauru. That's not Nauru, but that's actually the immigration detention place. But there's another Pacific island that she talks about. I think Tuvalu, where she says, you know, we should talk to the little children there about how they feel about climate change. So again, it's appealing to all this emotional stuff. It's not appealing to facts. It's always digressing from facts towards emotion. And that is the key thing that has become symbolic of Australian culture, Western fake democracy in the 21st century. We're going to break. Stay with us.
in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and I am deconstructing and tearing apart, ripping to shreds ABC Q&A. And this has to be done, folks. You can't just ignore it. Ignoring it will not solve this problem. You have to face it, as difficult as that may be. Now, I'm just going to move it forward to a point at which Malcolm Roberts speaks again. And again, there is derisive laughter when he speaks, an attempt to shut him down. But he does actually make a couple of valid points. Here we go.
Well, yes. But I like democracy. I want to protect it.
Well, of course you do, but that's not how the whole world is.
Oh, no, absolutely. And there are different models, you say. Yes. China's a different
model. But also,
model.
Brian, you're assuming that our governance is successful. And I brought along a book here by Richard Court, who was the Premier of Western Australia. It's Rebuilding the Federation. And he documents the destruction of our federation, our constitution in this country.
I don't think people are going to be able to read that on the television.
It's only 40 pages, but...
Malcolm, when you get to the parliament, you're not allowed to use props.
That's okay, but I will be using facts. Now, what we've got is an education system, particularly at our universities, that are teaching people what to think, not how to think. So who do we listen to? In answer to your question, we listen to the people who provide the empirical evidence that highlights cause and effect. It doesn't matter what situation is, policy should be built on cause and effect. And we've got to get a proper governance back in this country so that we can get a proper education system and return to the basics.
So you're happy to listen to them provided they're not 97% of scientists, for example?
The 97% consensus has been debunked and found to be a 0.3% consensus, and that, by the way, includes no one who has ever provided the empirical evidence that human production of carbon dioxide affects our climate.
Greg Hunt. Just pause it there. Notice how Brian Cox misquoted him. Malcolm Roberts said 0.3, and Brian Cox, in a sarcastic tone of voice, said 0.03 as if to make a complete mockery, to make a complete mockery of what Malcolm Roberts had said. Again, as I said, this guy, Brian Cox, is not a decent person, is not a genuine person, is a fake, is a fraud, is a dishonest presenter. I have to say that based on my observation. I just see so many examples of it in terms of the way he interacts with the audience. Continuing.
The question was an interesting one.
I'll go to the original question, if that's right. I think it was a great question, and just to remind us, it was about who do you listen to and how do you make decisions. It actually goes right to the heart of the whole democratic process and construct. And if it's just the elected representatives, and there are three of us at this table, then that is a very hollow system. It's not quite demagoguery because we're elected, but it's a disconnected system. If it's just the massed voices of, you know, those who argue the loudest, that's populism. The democratic process really works when you have what I would call a dialogue. And that's this constant engagement that we can now actually have more easily than it.
All right, I'm going to leave it there. There's not really much more to talk about on this show. I hope that some of the points I've raised there have been useful in terms of deconstructing Q&A. And you know, this is very important. We need to deconstruct it when we need to be able to communicate about that to others. What I believe is that people who become guests on this television show, such as Malcolm Roberts, need to be much more aggressive. Remember, part of the technique that the left uses about suppressing speech is all of the kind of damping down of speech and behaviour under the meme of political correctness so that you don't offend anybody. But unfortunately, what that does is that leads people like Malcolm Roberts into a trap of being too nice. Now, I think that it's quite clear that both the ABC and everyone else on the panel was all aligned against Malcolm Roberts. He was the enemy on this show. So it was not a level playing field. It was not like a friendly get-together where we can all talk and have our opinions. No, it was a mob attack on one individual to deride, to humiliate, to make that person look like a fool, to just crush and destroy what that person has to say. That was the purpose of the show. And the various panelists all did that in different ways. And I think for the most part, some of them are doing it in a genuine way. But to me, Brian Cox, being an entertainer, being someone who is used by the BBC, is clearly a propagandist for the BBC. I believe that he is not motivated by the kindest or truest of intentions on this show. Now, I've got a couple more stories I want to talk to you before the end of the show today. Just very briefly, I want to talk about HIV and HIV preventive medications, which have now been approved by the TGA in Australia. And I want to talk to you about how dangerous that is and about how this illustrates such a failure of medicine. And how if medicines like this were to be put on the public health scheme, that this would both contribute to worse health outcomes for people, as well as suck up vast amounts of our taxes, paying for things that are not positive in any sense. And this is where I think the real problem with our whole medical system and our whole universal healthcare system needs to be highlighted. But let me just begin by reading to you from the story here about this drug. Anti-HIV drug Truvada will not be listed on PBS as preventive medication, and I think that's a very good thing. Public health advocacy groups say they are dismayed a drug that can reduce the spread of HIV will not gain federal subsidy as a preventive measure. The pill, taken once daily, had become popular with thousands of gay men in Australia who wanted to reduce their risk of contracting HIV. Now, of course, as I've covered previously on this show, there are huge issues with HIV science and particularly the medicines that are used to treat AIDS. And this drug, Truvada, is actually an antiviral medication. It is actually used for people who have AIDS, but it is also being marketed as a preventive, right? So it is actually a treatment that is now migrated into becoming a prophylactic. And what's bad about that? Well, it's a very, very toxic substance that has vast numbers of potential side effects. I mean, just have a look at this, right? Truvada can cause serious side effects. Lactic acidosis, a serious medical emergency. Serious liver problems. Your liver may become large and tender, and you may develop fat in your liver. Worsening of hepatitis B infection. Kidney problems, kidney failure, bone problems, loss of bone density, bone pain, bones getting soft or thin, which may lead to fractures, changes in body fat, changes to your immune system. And common side effects of this drug include diarrhea, nausea, tiredness, headache, dizziness, and depression. Now, this is a drug that's just being marketed as like a thing that anyone can take just so they can go off and have, you know, wild sex, wild unprotected gay sex. And the fact that it's been approved is bad enough. But if this drug had actually been listed on PBS, that would have been an absolute travesty, because, I mean, that would have meant that our tax dollars would have been paying for this. And when I read the article here, I was absolutely shocked to find that the preventive treatment costs up to $200,000 a year. The Independent Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee noted the cost of treating someone at high risk of HIV infection with Truvada would cost between $105,000 and $200,000 a year. Unbelievable. I mean, and this is the type of thing, and there are many drugs out there, ladies and gentlemen, which have gone on the PBS, which are now part of, you know, people's medical benefits, that people who are on government benefits get free. And this all comes out of your Medicare levy. I mean, you're paying for this. So it is it shows you the travesty of our universal Medicare system, and it also shows you the terrible lack of concern for people's health on a real level from those who are marketing these products. Now, we're at the end of the hour. There was one more topic I wanted to raise. I may try and bring it up next week, but there's been some very interesting research on voting fraud in the United States, and some very detailed statistical research has been done that shows that the computerized voting systems are actually using fractionalized votes, and that there's kind of a weighting system being embedded into voting in the United States, which allows very, very subtle manipulations of election results. That is the end of our show for this week. I hope it's been of some value to you. I've certainly enjoyed it, and I'll be back next week. I look forward to speaking to you then. Truth News Radio Australia, over and out.